start off with a metaphysical discussion about things in the world, consequences to our actions, to our decisions. Are you interested? Well, how about some follow-up on the Armenian Genocide, 101 and counting? This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, inviting you to connect the dots with me and inviting you to take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armedoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Oh, there is so much to talk to you about today. It's going to be packed. Well, with a lot of deep stuff. We're going to go metaphysical. Yeah, we're going to go into this metaphysical range because I was thinking about this topic that I was going to keep it away from you. But then some things happened this morning. I said, you know what? This is next step material. We're going to be talking about the afterglow of April 24th. And yes, yours truly went to the demonstration. Should we just call 8 years down the drain? No, I'm not going to flush the toilet. Don't you dare. He's going to put the sound effect on there. No, anyway, I got some stuff to share about that because my heart is really down, really low on that one too. But on a positive note, we do have a new album coming out from artist Gor Mkhitaryan. Very, very happy and proud to put our name to it. It is a In His Shoes sponsored album. It is called Passport. And you, the next steppers, are getting the first step today, hearing about it. Mark on your calendars, May 29th. It will be the debut, the Los Angeles debut, and a month later, the Armenian debut in Armenia. So if you're in Armenia, just hang out. We'd love to see you out here. But if you happen to be in the States and you want to be at an historic event, May 29th is the day we are going to be debuting the new Gor Mkhitaryan album. But I said we're going to start off with some metaphysical, and actually this is a topic I wasn't going to talk to you about. I was sitting in a hospital bed for almost a day, and let's see, what was it? It was Monday night. Susan and I were driving to an event out in Hollywood. It was Congressman Adam Schiff was going to be talking about the situation in Armenia. It was not only an event, it was an event we had organized, and our own Dr. Hadar Dekmejian was going to be giving his analysis. You've heard his name, of course, on CNN, and he's an analyst. He's a prolific writer of political science. He teaches at the University of Southern California. And in a personal way, I'm very proud of him because he happens to be the choir director at our church for the last 13 years that we've been in Glendale. He has led the choir, and he has missed only one Sunday in that 13 years. And we all know the reason. He had breakfast with the King of Bahrain on that day. And very reluctantly and very sadly, he told us he couldn't make it on that day. Just a fantastic guy. Anyway, this Monday evening, we were supposed to be out there in Hollywood, and Susan and I driving. And all of a sudden, as we are driving, a car comes straight in front of us, dead in front of us, and hits us straight, head-on collision. Never been in an accident in 45 years of driving. It's the first, and let me tell you, wow, it hits you. And right afterwards, the only thing you think about is we're alive. We're able to process all this, you know, so we are alive. Anyway, I'm not telling you this because of the the accident itself as much as there is a metaphysical dimension that I wanted to share with you that I think is very important for our listeners, very important in the things that we do. So anyway, let me just begin by putting your minds at ease, because I know it's like, what, head-on collision? Yes, it was very, very extreme. We were in the hospital for a good day, day and a half. We were going from emergency to emergency room, like three different hospitals here in Los Angeles. Anyway, bottom line, we made it through there. We are alive. Where it's going to take a time. We're beaten up, bruised and beaten up. It's going to take some time to get back into, if quote unquote, normalcy. But the reason why I'm bringing all this up, first of all, thank you very much. I know we got people that will, and I don't want to panic you, okay? We are alive, and that's the bottom line, okay? The grace of God. And let me just tell you, do not text and drive. The idiot across from us, excuse me, the gentleman across from us was texting, and he went over the line and came straight in front of us. And how do I know that? Yeah, well, right after the accident, I looked over at him like, was he drunk? Was he on drugs? His first statement to me, believe it or not, he got out of the car, I wasn't texting. Ding, 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 ding. Did that put up some bells? Like, what were you doing there? Anyway, like I said, the details I'm just giving you because I want you to be relaxed about it. Thank God we're alive. We're okay. We're going to deal with it. But here's what I want to share with you, okay? We happened to be driving a Honda CR-V on that day. It is a late model, a newer model, one which we were leasing. And that evening, we traditionally go with my smaller car, which is a Nissan Versa. And that evening, I said, let's take the Honda. And there really wasn't any reason except I said, let's take that one, okay? And usually for this kind of thing, to do a jot out into Hollywood, the Nissan Versa is a little bit quicker, a little bit more peppy, but we took the little bit bigger car, and this accident happened, and it totaled the car. We saw the display of protection. And this is, I mean, thank God I've never seen this kind of technology at work. I've heard all about it, about the airbags. And it was like we were in a room of pillows. Just all around you, you're surrounded by these pillows, by these giant airbags, which just, that's the miracle in itself. They just inflate within split second of the impact. And so you're just like inside this little chamber of pillows. So we saw that all happened. And like I said, right afterwards, your immediate thought, and at least for me, my immediate thought was, I'm alive. Turned to my wife, Susan. I said, Suze, and she moaned. And I said, okay, we are alive. Now we've got to think about like getting out of here before this thing blows. Anyway, wonderful car, Honda. Didn't blow, and we survived. Okay, here, this is what I'm going to tell you about. That night, we had an option to take the other car, and people said to me, this is why I'm bringing it up here on the next step and the metaphysical implications of such an event. People said to me, good thing you weren't in the Nissan Versa, because the Nissan, of course, is a smaller car. The assumption is that if you were in the Nissan, it could have been horrible. It could have been horrific. And I firmly believe that had this accident happened a few years ago, we probably would not have survived had it not been for all that technology that was in there. Or as a small little marking on my wrist where my watch was, there is a circle that is rounded, burnt. It is burnt. I don't know how this happens. Many speculations, but there's a round circle on my wrist where it burnt through the hair on my wrist and the skin. And as my sister says, your time wasn't up. Okay, let's talk a little bit. I want to talk about the metaphysical implications of such an event and these kind of choices. Because the idea is that had you been driving the Nissan, and this happened, you wouldn't have made it through. But we also have to think that had I made the choice to drive the other car, we might not have been at that specific point at that specific time. In other words, each choice that we make in our lives alters all of reality from that point on. And we've seen this, of course, in these science fiction movies such as Back to the Future. And there's a whole genre of these kind of things that we see in Twilight Zone. Like, can you go back? What's the conundrum? Or what's that problem that can you go and you cannot kill your grandfather? Because if you went back in time and killed your grandfather, you wouldn't exist. So if you don't exist, you can't go back in time. And, you know, there's this puzzle about the grandfather and time travel. Well, in the same way, think about it. Okay, the assumption is that you take the Honda, you survive because of all these airbags and a bigger car, but you take the Nissan, you wouldn't have survived. But had you taken the Nissan, you would have been at a different point at that moment. Because in this equation, it was the other gentleman, yes, I'm using the word gentleman, who went over the line. And he came straight into us. So let's say at that particular moment, let's just use the time 5:30 in the evening on that particular street, this car was going to go over the middle line. Now, because we opted for that Honda, it put us there because the Honda has different propulsions, different rates of travel. We could have been either a minute earlier or a minute later had we been driving another car. So the statement that you would have made it would not have been applicable. Many other things could have happened. I mean, we could have also fallen off of a cliff before we even got to that street. I mean, there's so many different factors. And the reason I'm saying this is a lot of times when we look at the choices that we make in life, we assume that because we made this choice, this and this happened. Had we made this other choice, such and such would have happened. And you never really can be certain of those kind of things. You can't. Because once you make the choice, everything from that point on is altered from a different set of choices or circumstances for which you would have opted. Does that make sense? Are you following me on this? Okay, because we do this all the time, especially this past week on genocide, people talking about genocide. Had we done this? What if we had done this? And people do this in their personal relationships, too. Had I chosen someone else to be my spouse? Had I selected a different set of friends? Had I gone to college? Had I stayed at home? Had I joined the Marines? These things would have happened. Well, you assume that everything would be equal. And so therefore, your decision in that process would alter your presence at that future time. But once you make that decision, everything else is altered. Just like the car example. Okay, let's go back to the car example. If we had opted for the Nissan as opposed to the Honda, it might have taken us a few seconds, it might have taken us a few seconds more to have gotten to the on-ramp of the freeway. Might have taken us a few seconds less to get to the off-ramp of the freeway. And therefore, we would not have been at that particular spot at that particular time. So the decision we made to take the car puts us at a unique place in the spectrum, in that time-space continuum. So too in your life, the decisions that you make for finding friends, for finding a partner, for starting a business, for doing certain things that you do. And every decision influences every other decision that comes after that. This is a wild one. This is where I said it's a metaphysical kind of thing because you sit there and you could think about it. And what happens if you think about it too much, you get paralysis. Analysis is paralysis. You've heard that? It's exactly it. I mean, because then you start thinking, okay, A plus B equals C. And if I altered B, so if I said A plus D, would it equal C? No, it would equal E. Well, I got to make my decisions and things. And unfortunately, what we see is a lot of times, and this is where people get messed up, people start overthinking these things. And you've got to realize that life goes on. As John Lennon said, life is something that happens while you're busy making plans for other things. And we always make these plans and you have this and that, but life just goes on. And that night we were in the car, and by the grace of God, we were spared. We were spared an ending, a finality to this life. And that is an awakening experience, one that I hope everyone can understand how important it is to live every single second, because the decisions that we make, we're not really in control of all of the variables. Okay? So you can say A plus B equals C, but don't forget that there is a DEFGHI that is also influencing the equation. You see the A plus B, and so you assume it's the C, but you don't see the DEFGHI. And those are all the factors that have been influenced by the A plus B. And we do this as human beings all the time. Had I done it this way, had I gone swimming 2 days earlier instead of today, I would not have gotten a cold. Had I signed up for that set of courses, I would not have failed. Yeah, it's possible. You would not have gotten a cold. You would not have failed. You might not have gotten divorced. You might not have seen the person die on the extreme cases. Whatever it is, we do this all the time. Had I done this, this would have happened. But you don't see the DEFGHI in your variable, because you're just assuming everything is based on the A plus B. The same assumption. You're assuming that if you were in one car as opposed to another car, you would have survived. But no, you might not have been there at that particular time. So the question wouldn't have even existed, doesn't even come up. All this has a metaphysical start to today's show. I'm going to share with you some other deep stuff. This was just the beginning because it's important. I know it's sometimes you think it's just a mind game, but it's much more than a mind game. It's the way people live. Unfortunately, a lot of times people live in an unreality of what I should have, what I must have, what I could have done. And those discussions really don't work, because the past is already gone. All you do have is the present right now. And your present, the decisions you make today, affect everything that goes from this point on. The decisions you make today will not affect anything that is in the past. And so it's important that you have a good perspective, a healthy perspective on your life, of what you can do. And don't ever get into that paralysis situation. Maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, it doesn't end. A plus B will always equal C. But the DEFGHI factors that are involved in getting us from A plus B, those things don't always exist. They're not always known to us. And so this is where we come into the world of faith too. We have a trust, we have a faith, that God has everything under control, that the universe is on this universal time clock, and it's ticking away. We need to do the best that we can with the resources that we do have, trying the best to bring the peace and to bring the harmony in our lives and the people that we touch. A small little metaphysical side note to today's show. Let's continue with today's song of the day. I'll pick a nice one for you today. We'll come back, and then I'm going to share with you some thoughts in the aftermath of the 101st anniversary of the Armenian Genocide and a lot more. Stick with me, okay?
Sit in judgment on the market square. I have my favorite table and I have my chair. Natives are friendly and the sun flies high. All kinds of crazy waiters, they go drifting by. Hours last forever in the Cali Ambra shade. Conversation going nowhere and yet everywhere. Kick off those sad shoes and let the bare toes tingle. Slip off that shoulder strapless and the thick black hair. Come sit with me and take decamp to sign a coffee. Come laugh and listen as the ragamuffin children play. A lame dog and a black cat now they shuffle in the shadow. You got cappuccino lip on a short skirt face. Electric afternoon and shrill cell phones are mating. Lame dog is dreaming, dreaming of a better life. Where bed is fluffy pillows, table scraps are filling mignon. Flicked indiscreetly by the lazy waiter's knife. Come sit with me and take decamp to sign the coffee. Come laugh and listen as the ragamuffin children play. A lame dog and a black cat now they shuffle in the shadows. You got cappuccino lip on a short skirt day. Conversation going nowhere and yet everywhere. Kick off those sad shoes and let the bare toes tingle. Slip off the shoulder strapless and the thick black hair. Come sit with me and take decamp to sign the coffee. Come laugh and listen as the ragamuffin children play. A lame dog and a black cat now they shuffle in the shadows. You got cappuccino lip on a short skirt day. Come sit with me and take decamp to sign a coffee. Come laugh and listen as the ragamuffin children play. A lame dog and a black cat now they shuffle in the shadows. You got cappuccino lip on a short skirt day.
Shade by Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull. No other reason except I wanted to hear that, and I think I deserve to hear that. Gotta have some good music in life, you know, and today I don't want to hear anything else except good music. I hope you enjoyed it, and you can see the smile on my face even though I'm not videoing being broadcast, right? We're just an audio thing, but you could see the smile. Anyway, Kellyanne Rashid, Ian Anderson, I'll have a link on today's show notes. You could check out all of his great music, and especially that song. you listen to the next step, and you know one of the features along with this audio podcast is we have show notes, right? And on the show notes, I usually put what we talk about. Yeah, that's why it's called show notes. Anyway, today I'm gonna deviate from that practice. I'm not gonna put the following links on our show notes because I really don't want to propagate them any more than they are being propagated right now. What I want to talk to you about is some sad stuff that's going on, and really one of the reasons why I'm thinking that I need to take a different approach to life. I've been really, really let down this week, and I wanted to share it with you, my Next Step listeners. I was thinking about the priests and the pastors who stand up in front of the church audience, and they say, and they condemn, or they talk about the people who do not come to church and how awful it is that they do not come to church. Well, guess who they're talking to? The wrong audience. Everybody there is in church. They're already hearing it. You want to talk about the evils of not going to church, go out in the streets and talk to them, right? And so I'm sensitive to that. I don't want to be sitting here saying all the wrong things about that's going on and why I'm so down and everything, because you are the Next Step listeners. You're the people that are keeping me up and making me feel good. Just like there's this wonderful congregation that's really the foundation of all Next Step and In His Shoes, and that's the St. Peter Church in Glendale. And I know that I need to take a break from there. I need to move on from there. And sometimes it gets misinterpreted that, you know, why is he getting tired of us? It's not a question of being tired. It's realizing that you need to take the next step. And that next step needs to be in a different direction. It's not because of anything you've done, and it's not because it's not to be misconstrued into a bad divorce or anything like that, but it's just a necessary step. And so too, what I'm gonna share with you right now is really some of the disappointments, the frustrations that I'm seeing, and it was probably more pronounced this year at the anniversary of the 101st anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. Why? Because here we were again, once again, and everything that we had talked about was basically forgotten. If you remember last year at the 100th anniversary, we made some significant strides in where we were going. I was so excited because we were talking about 100 years. We were talking about life. We were talking about really victory. And this year we just crawled back into the same old hole. In fact, last week I shared with you a new exhibition, Our Wounds Haven't Healed, or The Open Wound. Basically, woe is me, look at us, we're so tragic, all these bad things have happened. And you look over on the net, you look over in the publicity, and it's all about, look at us, look how bad everything is. And unfortunately, what has been forgotten, is that we're in the way for so many other people who need to be really brought to the forefront right now, because there are genocides happening right now. And in this respect, I was so excited that last week, the Aurora group in Yerevan, they brought George Clooney and they presented the award. What I was disappointed was that we, as In His Shoes, as really the pioneer, if you go back and you look at the stuff that we were putting out on the net about our alliances with Darfur in different places, I was disappointed that we, as In His Shoes and where I am personally, weren't a part of that that movement. I know we were part of the background, and I'm so excited. I know people have written to me and said thank you for, you know, staying vigilant about this and moving the conversation in this direction. But we needed to be at that forefront, especially because we are promoting something that goes back to the time of, well, the beginning of the universe. That's how I look at it. When you talk about Armodoxy, you're talking about aligning with something much greater than yourself and the circumstances around you, certainly much greater than the 100 years. Anyway, with that being said, applause and much. I'm so, so thankful that there are groups like the Aurora Prize, that they gave that prize. And that one, I will definitely have a link on our today's show notes to that, so you could check that out. But I am very disappointed that as a community, especially as a church, we have just really sunk into that negative space. Last year, and do check out our podcast from last year. Fortunately, everything is archived on our servers and at In Issues. You can check out the kind of stuff that we were doing. On the 100th anniversary, while people were out there demonstrating and everything, what did In Issues do? We were out there. We had people in Chad who were working with the refugees at the Darfur camp. We cleared a minefield in Artsakh. We were able to unite different needs groups and outreach programs and really put together a fantastic little presentation of 100 souls working in his shoes, working with their feet in the shoes of others. And how significant is that on the 100th anniversary, that we have not died, but we are not beyond survival. We are helping others. Well, this year we brought it back down to survival. Everybody, that was the dialogue that was out there. I, in fact, even went to a demonstration. Two of them, one which I shared with you a couple weeks ago at the Azeri Consulate, where basically everything was done in Armenian language. So in other words, even the organizers understood that nobody even talked about it. But the one I went to on April 24th, here's what's significant about it. There's about 50 to 60,000 people, they estimated. Of course, being a clergyman, we get the nice, the bleachers on the side. We are the props in the play. Remember that? We were the props in the play. They put us over there. They, you know, go stand over there. You look great with your black robes and your nice necklaces. Go stand over there. You know, so we stood over there. If you've ever seen Animal House, you know those three guys who go and they try to pledge and they try to get into the popular fraternity. And then those fraternity brothers keep coming over there and say, why don't you come over here and sit next to Muhammad and Abdul and all these people. Like, here's a little section where you want. We want you to be. Same way, okay? So the clergy come in here. Come and stand over here. Be a part of the prop. So they put us over there at the props. And we heard the same rhetoric. You heard politicians and city councilmen saying, genocide should be stopped. And meanwhile, in their cities, you have drug abuse, you have alcoholism, and you have it among Armenians, yes. In other words, there's a genocide happening without the Turk there, basically killings. Then as we were there at the demonstration, circling above were four planes, Turkish lobby. Two of them were dragging these huge banners with the Turkish flag. Two of them had a message, an anti-Armenian message, a denialist message over there. And of course, these politicians who were addressing the crowd of 50 to 60,000 people alluded to them. They pointed up and they said, do not be disturbed by these people. These people are denialists. They're horrible people, blah, 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 blah. You want to know the truth of it? How did they get up there? Don't they need a permit? Who signed the permit? Who's responsible? Like, if you're a politician and you say that that's horrible, wouldn't you go after the guy who signed the permit on that? I mean, you can't imagine that white separatists would be up there denouncing the freedom and the emancipation of the African-American community from slavery. You couldn't imagine them denouncing it or being a denialist up there. No one would give them a permit for that. You can't imagine Nazis going up there in planes and circling around and saying the Holocaust did not happen. No one would give them the permit. But guess what? These same politicians that were standing there and addressing the crowd and riling up the crowd were the people who had given them the permits. Yeah. Now, you need Father Voskin to draw those parallels, to connect those dots. But the people stood here and they applauded and they said, these are the greatest politicians. We will give them our votes. We love them and they are so fantastic. Yeah, well, they got what they wanted. They got your vote. And it's at this point that I realized that, you know, I'm basically finished with doing this kind of stuff. I shared with you a part of that disappointment last week, and I said that, you know, we're going to be changing the entire complexion of In His Shoes, and probably within the next week. Actually, I was hoping to pull the plug on it today, but I think there's a value. I know that there's a large constituent of people that are following us and listening to us. And I know we are touching a lot of people, but the disappointment and the frustration is at a very high level. And it reached its maximum over the weekend with these events happening, with the April 24th commemorations, with the reactions that we saw, with the violence that we're seeing, especially internet violence on blogs, on Facebooks, within, and by that I mean this total disregard for human life. And, you know, our country is better than yours and we're better than you. And, you know, there's some really wild videos that are floating around about confrontations between Armenians and Turks. And I think about it as an Armenian, you know, this is how I've been brought up. I know the truth about what happened at a genocide. My grandparents told me those stories. And I would imagine that, you know, most Turks, they probably have this denialism. They'll deny that that happened. But why do they deny it? Well, you're touching and you're touching their pride. You're touching their ethnic pride. And many of them probably have grown up with stories that, you know, this was just a part of World War I, that things do happen, that people do die, that there are wars. And I even saw one kind of presentation, some guy trying to make a mini documentary. It was pretty sad, you know, and he's like experimenting with different things. It was more like a publicity for him than anything else. Anyway, I watched a bit of it. It's a video floating out around YouTube, and, you know, a bunch of Armenians saying, this is great, a bunch of Turks saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about. But this guy's trying to show that, you know, like, hey, look, this is war and this is genocide. Well, yeah, not all wars are genocide, but all genocides are war, okay? Let's say it that way, right? Genocide means that somebody got up and said, everybody in this population, in this gene pool, we're going to eliminate this gene pool. Just as suicide is going to eliminate the self, homicide is going to eliminate one other person, genocide, let's eliminate the entire gene pool. And it's a systematic program of annihilation. Okay, we get this. And there are people who will deny this from the Turkish camp. And more as people are getting educated, more and more people are accepting it. But here we come back down to this basic, to this basic argument that people need to accept it. And you know what? What's the next step? You talk about what you talk about acceptance, and then where do you go from there? Is it very realistic that there's going to be compensation? Is it realistic that the lands are going to be brought back? Obviously it's not, but you don't keep it going. Remember what I shared with you last week when I said we went to that demonstration by the AYF? It wasn't about speaking in English. It was about speaking in Armenian. Why? Because the realistic part outweighs the pie in the sky. In other words, we know that the Americans, that the Azeris aren't going to hear this. You do it in Armenian to keep your people active and believing in the cause. That cause has to outlive you because the cause is a just cause. And so you continue with that. Okay, well, I understand that. But you also have a limited number of years that you're on this planet, and you have to do something about the situation of the world with your life. And it's not for self-serving motives. And you see this over, and this goes across the board, even with the big ones, the heavyweights, like System of a Down, Serge Tankian and everything. We're doing it for genocide. Yeah, and you take away the ego, it's very hard for you to understand where the ego ends and where the national or where the larger-than-life aspirations begin. But it's all part of it. It's part of this big mess we call life. And so here we are, 101st anniversary. I looked at what we had done with Leveraging Love. I looked at so many of our programs. I especially looked at what we did last year with the 100-year journey, where we went the extra step to making sure that words of violence and hatred were excluded. Because don't you get it? You can't be talking about a genocide by talking about violence against somebody else, about hatred towards somebody else. Don't you get it? It's the same equation. You can't say it's wrong to have genocide and then spew hatred towards somebody else. And so all these things were still fresh in my head. I was looking at it. We did this last year. We went that extra mile and we took out all the language of hatred. We did the 100-year journey. We're very proud. In fact, today, if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link on today's show notes so you can check out the 100-year journey in its virtual state. It was wild. It was wild. We did it. Here we are this year talking about hatred, talking about open wounds, about open sores. Yeah, that's the way they describe it. And meanwhile, you have your George Clooney's and this other group, Aurora. They're out there and they're talking about awarding. And that's fantastic. Yes, change the metaphor. We've been a proponent of that for how many years? We've talked about this. This is the priest that I went and I stood on Rwandan soil. And I merged these two backgrounds together. And so you would think I would get excited about this Aurora group, but I can't. There's something missing. And it's namely Armadoxy. It's the strength of what this church should be. If you watch the ceremony, and if you haven't, do check it out. It's on YouTube. If I can, I'll try to dig up a link on the show notes, okay? Do watch the ceremony, because it's interesting. Every time they called up somebody to the stage, what did they play? The orchestra played Christos Haryav Imerelots. Yes, the orchestra was playing the hymn of the Armenian church. Wasn't that where the Armenian church should be? Of course, but we're not. We're still sitting on the ruins. We're still letting it fester. The wound is open. So what happens to open wounds? It festers. And there's no direction, and something's off on that. And I share this with you because I know you're understanding. And so going back to our original idea, what we talked about a few minutes ago, A plus B equals C, I assumed we would get to C. But I forgot about the factors D, E, F, G, and H, I, which are all playing into the equation, and so we're not at C. We're not there. And so we need to tweak it a bit. We need to change it a bit. I'm still faithful to the message that we have. Just believe in Armadoxy too much. Christos Haryav Imerelots. Christ has risen from the grave. It's the hymn of the Armenian church. Isn't this where the Armenian church should be? But we're not. And unfortunately, we are playing into everyone else's games. I have some issues. What am I going to tell you? That's what we started the next step with, right? 8 years ago. Going on 9, we started with that. There's a disenfranchised group, and I shared with you last week, the disenfranchised priests. There's a lot of stuff going on. People start off with good intentions, and then you get disenfranchised. Because you put your faith on things that are made with man rather than the things made with God. And God's message cannot be compromised. Christ has risen. You can't play around with that. You're either going to accept it, and if you're not, then just admit it straight out and admit that you're a victim. Admit that it's finished. And you don't have any part with it. But if you do accept it, you need to take on that new language. You need to accept that new language. And that's where I'm at. Maybe it's the trauma that we went through earlier this week, my wife and I in that car. But if you listen to the last few weeks when we were talking about the props in the play, the disenfranchisement, and everything else, you realize that it is an evolution, and we've gotten to this point where we do need to take the next step. Not just talk about the next step, but take that next step. And that's what we're going to be going with. I'm going to be sharing with you a new program that is just coming up. It is called Passport. It is a new album by artist Gor Mkhitaryan. We're going to be premiering that. Let me let Susie make her announcement, and I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all of you who listen, who tirelessly listen to us, yes, tirelessly, and support this ministry. The Next Step, In His Shoes, Armadoxy, Epostle, and the whole mess of stuff that comes around with this. It all begins with a small little church on the corner in Glendale, St. Peter Armenian Church. Now this year, May 29th, we're going to be debuting an album that has been in the works for the past several months. I've talked a little bit about it because I wanted to put it all into order before we announce it. I'm proud to be the executive producer of it. It is with the artist Gor Mkhitaryan. It is a new album called Passport. It is talking about some of the ails, including the exodus from Armenia, including the trafficking issues, including the drug addictions, including many of the problems that are part of a genocide that's called the white genocide. White genocide means that there's no blood being spilled, but you're losing your people and you're losing the souls. Passport. It is a new album by Gor Mkhitaryan. I'm very pleased to announce today that May 29th in Los Angeles, actually in Pasadena, at a private venue, we're going to be debuting that album. It is right now, probably it'll be a day after this podcast comes out. This weekend, you can secure your tickets by going to our website, going on Facebook, and making sure that you have a reservation for this event. It'll be an incredible little concert on the green. It is Memorial Weekend here in America, and so it's going to be Americana. The theme of the food, at least. But more important is the spiritual food of all of us getting together and being together on May 29th to celebrate this achievement and this accomplishment with Gor Mkhitaryan. So I want to tell you beforehand, today, you get your first notice. May 29th, join us here in Pasadena for the Gor Mkhitaryan Passport album debut. Next week, we'll start playing some of the music. You'll get to hear some of the sounds. It's going to be an incredible event. It's going to be a place that in history you're going to want to be. So May 29th, mark that on your calendar. If you can be in the Los Angeles area, please make every effort to do it. It's Memorial Weekend. It is a long weekend. May 29th is that Sunday, right in the middle of it. You're going to be with friends. You're going to be with people talking about something that is very, very important. And with that, I'm going to call an end to today's show, thanking you very much for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. Got a lot on the plate right now, and next week you're going to see that we develop even further along these themes. But I want to thank you for joining us. On behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of Ken, our engineer, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to all of our sites, In His Shoes, Epostle, as well as on our Facebook pages, and inviting you to take the next step with us again next week.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are.